Yes.
All right, this is General Radio.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Neil, girl! Out here, it's just a little bit
sweet, but
get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
Put your knife away.
Hey, all right. This is Jonah Radio.
When was that added?
That was added months and months ago.
I've never been listening.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in, Jonah Radio. Dio can make it. He's getting ready for the new year.
Yes, he is.
Cash Hartzell is here. He's
the
producer. Neil Mahoney's here. He has a shotgun shell that turns into a knife.
As I said.
As he sits and judges others for their decisions.
As I said downstairs. Way to make being a knife guy look good in the rear view.
Wow.
Then we
there were
upstairs.
No winners in that round.
Nope. No winners in that round.
Neil's also punchy today. So let's not sit in this trifecta any longer than
no.
we have to.
Oh, no.
And
Jesus.
Then who now
our
just
guest pulled out a knife.
Rhea Butcher, our guest
That's
for today.
Me. Pulling out my Kershaw. Putting it on the table.
That's
my everyday carry.
Oh, somebody else. You guys. I have heard him use that term so many times.
I am only saying it because my dad has started using it. So just to let everybody know, stop using that phrase because my dad is using it now.
Oh, that's a Kershaw too. This little baby one.
Springless.
He just pulled out.
Not illegal. Not a switchblade.
Not a switchblade?
No. Spring assist.
Spring assist, yeah.
So that what does that mean? Spring assist.
It doesn't.
It means it pops out real easy, but it's not a switchblade.
And switchblade is just it goes straight forward.
It goes straight forward. Yeah.
And how do you put that back in?
That's a good question.
You have to hit bone.
Yeah, yeah. You have to hit. Bone? You put it into your femur.
Yes.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
you put it back. Yeah.
That's a. Yeah, Deanna got a new knife as well.
Oh,
nice.
Jesus.
I don't
knife for around. Christmas.
Did you
get a penny for your point? Because you got to get a penny for your
yeah.
point. You
oh, know, that's right.
Thing.
That's right. Yeah.
There's just pennies on the street, so you can just grab one off the ground.
They just throw
Nobody
those
cares
things
about
away.
Them. I once threw away a nickel as a child. Which why did anybody let me become a person that did that?
I remember walking around school trying to just get one more quarter so I can get a soda.
Oh,
just
yeah.
thinking like it was $1 million. And someone's like, "Well, I got a dime." I go, "Well." Almost halfway there.
Almost halfway there.
Yeah,
what did you
every waters,
every day for breakfast in high school? I ate because I think I could for a dollar eat breakfast at school.
Mm-hmm.
I would go into the cafeteria and sit with my nerdy cool friends. You know, like mm-hmm. we weren't the nerds, but we weren't super cool. Kind of in the middle. I would get a can of Coke and a bag of sour cream and cheddar. Ruffles, and that was what I ate for breakfast every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like start the day off right.
How did you have energy to shred?
I don't know how I had energy to shred. Well, I do know because then I would run to the border and get some beans and cheese, pintos and rice, or pintos and cheese,
yeah,
or whatever.
Pintos and rice.
It was the like
the plastic scraping along the styrofoam cup.
Yeah,
you know, you were done.
Too cheap for a tortilla.
Oh,
like you
yeah.
add a tortilla and it's seven other things on their menu, but you
yeah.
don't get a tortilla and you get pintos.
It's 10 cents.
Yeah.
Did you get a new Zoom?
I did get a new Zoom.
Hey! All
nice,
right.
nice.
Look at that.
I
got a case and everything.
I can adjust another way now, which means it's a lot easier. It's a very pretty Zoom.
Ooh,
look at
wow.
that. Yeah, we can go
those.
Field recording long ways or like a tight circle.
Wow.
This would be
Sick.
Great for if we go back to the Grateful Dead show.
A tight
or
circle.
Or another
what
butter.
A great
well, you
album
know who's
title.
Playing tonight in Pasadena at the Rose. Which is
Ooh.
Like a, it's a...
The Rose, I don't know.
The Rose is just like a dinner
plate.
Music venue, but Gin Blossoms are playing.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
The tickets are, I think, are like
$28. Wow.
I already told Derek Waters. it's something we almost went to a show the other night, and then Neil, like, didn't want to go all
That's
of a sudden.
That's not what I said.
You said you didn't want to go all of a sudden.
I said, are you thinking about going?
You said
oh,
was
this
a good
last
idea.
Night?
When do you pick what you remember? I want to know the process your brain
Mos
goes
Def?
Through. No.
Oh, that's what I said to Mos Def. What was the other one?
No. It was Motor Babe was playing in at Old Town Pub in Pasadena,
oh,
which is
right.
an all female tribute to Motorhead.
Yeah,
Sick.
I didn't want to go to see that.
Motor Babe.
Motor Babe.
That's a great. One.
Seems like
Motor Bait or Babe.
Babe.
Great.
Seems like First Draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're coming up with, like, you know, gender-based puns, just go with your first draft.
Yeah.
AC/DC, perfect.
That AC/DC was, yeah, is perfect. Wow.
The Donalds.
What's a better... The Donalds?
Yeah, it was
the all-male Donna's cover.
All-male.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
We tried to get the guy, the lead singer from the Donalds to interview the women from the Donna's.
Oh, nice.
For that magazine.
What would be a better Motorhead all-female tribute to Motorhead?
Maidenhead?
Maidenhead.
I like that.
I like Maidenhead.
Sure. Yeah, Maidenhead. Okay.
I don't know. What's that? Remember, was it Tiny Kiss? Have we talked about Tiny Kiss?
Well, there's two, right? Sure, there's Tiny Kiss and there's Mini Kiss.
Oh, okay. Those are people.
They don't get along with each other.
Yeah, you caught it.
I know the difference. I am aware. I'm aware of the different sized kisses.
Yeah. And then the other night, Max Sabbath played.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I stage crewed for them at the Lagunitas thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It was.
Have you heard of Max Sabbath?
No.
It's a McDonald's themed Black Sabbath tribute band.
Oh, wow.
Grimace plays bass.
It's organic food positive.
Yes.
That's a newer thing, though, isn't it?
I guess then maybe they switched it up.
Yeah.
I was just
layers.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I was reading the LA Weekly at a diner and I was like, "Oh man, the LA Weekly has really sunk low."
Weekly is essentially a pamphlet.
It's
these
not
days.
A thing anymore.
It's 4 pages.
Yeah.
It's mostly
see what's up there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got you going.
You know your guests.
I'm queuing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what you're talking about.
The LA Weekly, which was a great resource. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do find most open mics that when I first started out here if it wasn't for the LA Weekly. And shows and
it
now
was really
it got
great
bought
for promotion.
Out. It got bought out by some conservatives, and it's been slowly dwindling. And it is print media.
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
But you know that
print media in like less than 10 years is going to come back if we make it through all this. Because you were talking about like live performance being the thing. I think the same thing about that. Like people that are coming of age now don't want all this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like they actually want, and not in like an ironic, whatever bullshit. Like they literally don't want it.
Yeah.
They're like, I see what it's doing to everybody. I don't want to do this.
It's not cool.
And the other thing that is particularly infuriating was the pivot to video that everybody was doing. It turns out Facebook just made it up. So Facebook announced that like, hey, we're seeing in our internet relations as internet providers of shit that people want to watch video. And so all of the media companies fired all their reporters and pivoted to video. And that's why all the big newspapers have folded and there's all this streaming local video and stuff like that. It's just come out in the last couple of months that they made that all up.
Wow.
And so that these huge media corporations made this big turn into video and it's complete bullshit.
Yeah. Huh.
And so they have to go back and they have to reconstitute what they did before.
Yeah, we'll see
what
happens.
It's wild. It's also wild because one of my friends once said that when the bailout happened, you know, for like car companies and stuff, like we should have bailed out newspapers too.
Yeah.
Like we should have protected them. Like, and his suggestion was that like movie theaters, like forced advertising basically. Like just that you couldn't stop, because that's what happened is you didn't have to look, movie theaters didn't need to pay to advertise their times. Something as simple as that, as just a movie theater putting their times in there. Like, it's on Fandango. Okay, I don't need to pay whoever to print the times anymore for my movies.
Well, and that's the other thing that happened with weeklies as well is prostitutes don't need to put ads in the paper anymore.
Sex workers
do not have to put ads in the paper anymore. They can go to, they could go to like Backpage and stuff, and now that's all off.
The whole country.
What are these websites you're familiar with?
No. It's like Craigslist and Backpage, which is like you go sell like, you know, refrigerators. Well,
and Backpage was owned by the weeklies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was their attempt to keep that, that business around was they founded Backpage.
It was classifieds. It was just online classifieds.
But also, didn't that recently go away?
Sesta put down all of that stuff.
Craigslist specifically got rid of personals or something.
Craigslist, you can't even do man, woman.
Which really sucked because there was like an actual thriving like dating, very specific dating community on Craigslist that like went away. Specifically gay men that I'm aware of. I'm sure it's other ones, but like there's a specific one where like levels of safety had been figured out on that.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like
over time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like basically a forum.
And it was a self-policing.
Yeah,
sort
and
of,
like
yeah.
guys that maybe aren't out and can't, you know, whatever, yeah. Would like live there basically, yeah. and then it just went away. And it was part of that sex workers law that was supposed to protect them. But
it's outlawed a lot of the common sense stuff that there's a lot of self-policing and it was a lot of
self-protection and stuff.
And it was organic in that it had come up through itself. And then these laws come in that just sort of like, it's all bad, so we're going to strip out all this stuff.
It's basically like a gay bar in the 60s, mm-hmm. Where like once you walk in there, you're pretty much safe, and then you take care of each other when somebody comes in that shouldn't be there or whatever. And it's basically like somebody going like, well, we don't need gay bars anymore because everyone's fine. And like, no, actually, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of that stuff in this country. It feels like it's just like overturning the stuff. Oh, we don't need that.
Right.
Let's kill it. Hey, you guys want to listen to some music?
Yeah.
Just sure, change yeah. subject.
So we're going to play a song from Boy Genius.
Yay.
Which is a super group of sorts.
It is a super group.
You got Phoebe Bridges.
Bridgers. NBD.
And she had a great album title, one of my favorite album titles of all time, which is Stranger in the Alps, which is, for those who don't know, that is the TV edit of what Walter in The Big Lebowski say when he's smashing the car. He says, like, when the movie, in the theatrical release, he's saying, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass, Larry. Yeah. And then, but in the TV version, it's like, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
It is and that's so
the name
brilliant.
Of her album. And then it's also Lauren Duca. No,
Lucy Dacus.
Lucy Dacus.
Yep. Also, just the Stranger in the Alps, there was a re-release this year with, I think, 3 or 4 new tracks. There's a Tom Petty cover in there. It'll all work out.
All right.
It's real good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real good.
Always in for that.
And she just did a Spotify single of Friday I'm in Love. That's really good.
That's right. That is very good.
Yes. And then Lucy Dacus, who her album Historian is like, it's amazing. I think, the first track off of it, Night Shift, was the number 2 track on NPR. And the number incredible. 1 track was This Is America. So I was like, oh, well, it was the best song if it wasn't for this other song that also was brilliant. You know what I mean? So, but that record is, it's really good.
Yes.
It's a really, really, really great record.
And we have permission because Phoebe Bridgers follows me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
I mean, she follows me too. So saying
that's consent.
Yeah. Also, her mom thinks I'm a great stand-up comedian.
There
so
it
like,
is.
Yeah,
just
don't
letting
make
you know.
Us hurt. Your mom.
What song should we hear off of the Boy Genius EP?
Off of Boy Genius. Well, I mean, my favorite song off of it is "Me and My Dog." I think. But I love every song on it.
All right,
so.
We'll do "Me and My Dog" because it's cute. It's got a cute title. So this is "Me and My Dog" from Boy Genius, eponymous EP.
Even
I did it. Oh,
why we can't hear yeah, it. No, it was there.
We forgot Julian Baker in the intro.
Julian Baker, that's yep. That was the third, yeah.
Trio.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because I think they remind me so much of Trio.
Oh, yeah?
Of Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris, and Dolly Parton, even though nothing that they're doing except for the last track.
Oh, I thought you meant Trio, the da-da-da band.
No, not that one. Other one. Even though they're not like a country western harmonized, but... I don't know. They're
cool vibe to them.
And it's got that Emmylou Harris sort of like ethereal in the background.
Absolutely.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, the Julian's like, they're just what they did this summer. I mean, it will never happen again, even though they'll probably still keep making music together. But who knows how much they'll be able to do it because they're
all their careers
very successful. And it was just an amazing. I can't believe I got to see that show.
Yeah,
it was like that show was amazing. It was at the Wiltern. In Los Angeles, you could hear a pin drop in the middle of that shit. Also, the way they did it was all three of them played like an opening set.
Oh, that's
so it
cool.
was like a festival of them. It was amazing. I got to see, like, Lucy opened. She played this song up top that is unreleased that I just was like, well, my dick has been blown off completely. And then Phoebe and then Julian. And Phoebe did like all kind of more countryer arrangements of that album that stuff that sounded amazing. And then Julian, like, she rips. Number one, there was a dude in front of me. She was playing Turn Out the Lights off of her newest record. And instead of like, she usually on the record, it's a down strum on these like super heavy notes. She was doing up strums on them and did it so loud this dude jumped out of his seat. Just like a fucking full dude was like, bah! Like that's how big of a show it was. And then they played all six of those songs and ended on Catch 'Em Idaho, which is also an amazing song that if you haven't listened to this album before,
the one that goes Christmas Catch 'Em Idaho.
Yeah, it's exactly that one. It's about these two twins who one of them falls in love and then the other one, if you listen to it, make sure that you have like the Spotify, like radio thing turned off because the way the song ends is very like important to the how the feeling and the emotion of the song. Cause for months I had no idea it ended like that because it would always just autoplay a Julian Baker song afterwards.
Oh, interesting.
So then when I was like, oh, it like was a completely different song after I fixed that thing.
It's some sequencing sometimes is so important.
Yes.
To like a way you feel about a song and to like,
because Spotify, do they do like that crossfadey thing?
Well, they'll just play a song immediately afterwards.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. So it's like what should be the end of the album, just you kind of start to associate other
stuff. And it takes away from the like abrupt ending of the song that's like very much on purpose because it ends abruptly and then something starts and it's not supposed to do that. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, sometimes like there's a way some bands end songs and I go, I appreciate it. But I don't want to hear it like on the new on the album from this year, Caro Benito.
Uh-huh.
Like they do this thing where they start to kind of like skip the song, almost like it's a skipping CD.
Mm-hmm.
And like it does this other stuff and then the song continues. But then it gets into it a bit more.
Uh-huh.
And I go, I appreciate
the
idea of this and how it's totally going to lead into the next song.
Yes.
But I just...
It's annoying.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
It's like sirens in songs where I'm like, look, I get it. I understand the whole vibe you're trying to, but I feel like I'm getting pulled over.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I was in the car the other day and there's like a ringing telephone in the song and I was like looking around. Two of us in here, what the fuck?
Somebody needs to build a beat of just like the top five cell phone ring samples or text message buzzes.
Yes.
And just build a great beat on that and it will be the hugest song in the world because nobody will ever turn it off.
A guy playing the I don't know why I'm blanking
timpani.
On the name of it.
Xylophone.
Xylophone in a park in New York.
I knew it wasn't timpani.
Every once in a while, he would just start doing the ringtone.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah, and like you'd see people reaching.
For Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then he's got an associate. He's like, now I'm going to go take all those phones because I know which ones are there. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, no, I have a long distrust of street musicians.
Rhea,
yes.
We have we have a lot in common.
Yes,
music
we do.
Wise.
Mm-hmm. August birthdays.
August birthdays. Similar haircuts in our 20s.
Yes.
Oh, you had the over one eye thing?
I mean, it wasn't over one eye. It was just a long bang, and it's coming back. I'm like, I have it again because I just don't. I don't want my other hair, so I don't really know what I'm doing with this. I'm just letting it grow. But yes, I had what some people would describe as an emo haircut, but I was not an emo person.
Yeah. Oh.
I was into like, I was very into Modest Mouse and like Built This, but you could argue that those are emo bands, but I was not into like screamo emo. Mm-hmm. I didn't wear like tight black jeans with a white belt. I had a white belt. That was in high school. That was way before. And I was doing a different, more of a, like a, the makeup kind of a Nation of Ulysses kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that shit. But yes.
Which I, like that, like whatever like this, what was considered emo in the 2000s was like just very co-opted.
I couldn't even name what it was. Like
Panic at the Disco.
I guess
and
so, yeah.
Taken Back Sunday. But
Dashboard?
I remember like, I guess, like, you know, there was the...
I have listened to that dude one time.
I don't like
what's
it.
The one from Las Vegas?
I
don't know.
The Killers?
That's a good question.
Yeah, them.
But no, they were more of the Strokes era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's the...
Oh, they did
No, we're
they
talking
did
about
a,
emo, like Panic at the Disco.
They
and,
did a the Colors, or Colors, Killers cover at that show.
Oh, nice.
Because previously they were doing Dixie Chicks, so I was like so stoked to hear them do Cowboy Take Me Away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But somebody fucking put it on the internet, and I think that made them not want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I was bummed, but then they did... You Can Change My Mind. Is that what the song, the track is called? The Killer song?
I don't know.
You Can Change My Mind.
I don't really know them much.
Me neither, other than that first record, which is why when they played it, I was like, what 60s song is this?
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny, because I was like, oh, I guess the Killers are pretty good, actually.
People like them.
They're not as bad as, they're not like the Hives. I mean, the Hives were terrible.
Whoa.
Oh, I like the Hives.
Wrong room.
Yeah.
All right, my bad. I didn't
you
read the room.
You take your old
then
white
who?
Belt and go home.
I mean, they were very white belt.
They were very white belt.
They were fun.
They were like,
fun.
They were
fun.
They were
fun. I just mean.
State-sponsored punk band.
Sure.
Well, so,
yeah.
Same was so was Refused, you know.
Yeah.
Anyone in any of those, like, you know, the Paws is a state-funded, you know, band.
Is anybody into the Vines? That band really came and went.
They really
That guy, which is, I remember he got flashy. Too weird for everybody.
Yeah. I thought it was just Silverchair in different outfits.
It was Silverchair.
The Vines, they had that, like,
it was
that
Lifehouse.
Album, highly evolved from the Vines. Not mm-hmm. so bad. It's like, it's not bad, but it's just like, I think everyone had reached the... Everyone's like, I'm just done with this
kinda
garage
tired of this.
Grunge revival.
Yeah.
Garage.
Yeah,
that, yeah. Well, the Hives, though, like the Hives, it's like, I remember because like I was listening to them, like, and they were just like this, like, garage. They were just a garage punk band.
Yeah.
That, like, I really, they were really.
Sorry
fast
about my shots and, fired at the Hives.
No. If Neil was doing his job at all, he
was
also,
that the knife or the. Okay.
Shots fired. We have one that literally says
no,
shots
I know.
Fired.
I just. Yeah. Referencing the shotgun.
Yeah, it's like they, you know, they. It was such an odd time. It was like the Strokes came out, and then there was all post-Stroke stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
were already around, but then just were getting
just
plucked
doing
it,
that thing,
you know, up and Yaz was like a part of that wave.
Yeah,
but like
had already
like
been doing their own thing. Driven. Can I tell you guys? Can I brag for a moment that I saw Liars open for Yaz? With like 100 people at the old grog shop in Cleveland.
That's a
and
great
it was
show.
Oversold, but two people left, and so I got to go in.
Whoa!
So it was like pre-Maps, you know, like they were still dating and everything, and like
Wow.
They just had that one EP, that one EP.
Yeah.
I was legit as close as we are right now watching them because that old grog shop stage was maybe as tall
close.
As this.
Yeah, it's
a coffee table.
It's funny. I what's up?
No, I was just giving, like, I was like, they're not that far away. Just for the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
they're,
thank you.
They're sitting on the same couch.
And when
the
same
coffee table is coffee table.
And when they pan the audio and listen to things separately, they'll be able to tell what both of you are saying. I had to, I didn't have to. I asked a DJ, well, drunk, at this place in downtown LA called the Bang Bang Room.
And I wasn't able to make it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Next time.
But it was like they held me to it and they asked me to do it and I had a lot of fun, but it was like but no one cared what was being played.
Yeah.
And so I did end up playing like a lot of like like early AAS and The Gossip and Chick Chick Chick.
Yes.
And
TV Party?
Right in my wheelhouse, my bro.
Because I was not at a TV party.
Well,
everyone
that
keeps on asking me, am I going to play TV Party every time I DJ? I was at an Emmy party, and that's why I played TV Party by Black Flag.
But isn't it a trans
It was
bar?
A gay, trans, inclusive.
TV bar? I guess that's not still the...
What is this?
It back in my day, there were TV bars. Transvestite.
Oh, I see what you're going towards.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So it was a TV party.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of.
Swing.
Hey, it was a long walk, Cash, but yeah. I'm there with you.
I
had to run from behind and be like, all right,
yeah. It was a long way to go. It was a long way to go, but it also wasn't worth
it.
Hey, I'm the queer in the room, so I'm going to say to anybody that's listening and they're like, oh, you're not supposed to say that anymore. No, that's not true. I mean, people don't use that. Some people do identify as that.
Transvestite.
Transvestite.
Yes, I have my friend.
Cash is talking
Doug.
About a time period, and also like a that is a thing that has existed. A thing meaning the word that has existed, not the human being, because I would never call a person a human being. Just really covering my tracks here.
Okay.
But just like there are definitely people that I still encounter in like Northeastern Ohio who definitely would identify as transvestite. So like it's really interesting to me. Like these words that people are like, oh, you can't use that anymore. It's like, yes, we don't really use that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would say necessarily, oh, you can't say that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And my friend Doug from back in Hawaii, he's like, yeah, I'm a gay transvestite. Like,
yeah.
It's like that's what he does. And now he like fights for sex workers' rights in Hawaii.
And I mean, you're describing someone who calls himself that. So you can't really be an asshole for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like,
look at it himself,
you know, but it's is it the N word conundrum? It's like, well, he refers to himself as that.
Right.
So why can I call him that?
I mean, I feel like that one is pretty straightforward.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah.
In my
it's
day,
regional.
We call them coloreds.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to be in this place now. I just don't think if you call yourself something, you're not wrong for calling yourself something.
Yeah.
No,
you know?
And that has to do with identity. It's like, it's
yes.
you.
Yes.
It's a singular.
Yes.
That people get lost in the second person or third person, but at the essence, it's the first person, and that's
yes.
the one that matters.
Which is, and then it's tough because like there's no one word that like really encompasses like, for me, it's the queer community, but a lot of people really don't like that word. So I don't know. I just don't like referring to my people as an acronym. Like, it feels very weird and gross. Anyway, this is a music podcast.
Well,
I just don't like jumping in on
talk about,
words.
Like, we did talk about, like, the, you know, there was that time, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, where, like, I think a lot of the indie kids were being kind of opened up to a bigger spectrum of sexuality. Like, because, like, the faint... Like kind of like I would say the faint is what taught like indie kids how to fuck.
Right. Sure.
It's like they're all it's like wait, we don't have to just make mixtapes and write letters. We can just turn on some Electro Clash
and fuck
each other. And I think there was like a big thing where it's like, you know, then like I had friends that start like it's like they like a lot of my guy friends like start to feel comfortable like, you know, making out with guys to see if like it was something like instead of just like it's like, oh, I don't know who knows if I'd like it or not. Who knows? Like,
yeah, right. It's,
everything got like really kind of
fluid
and fun.
Yeah,
during that time, and there was girls like just putting electric tape on their nipples and guys just like fucking just do, like having just hot.
Wait,
greasy hair.
What? I was like, wait, we knew each other then. Where were these parties?
That was like Club Bang, Club Beat It, Club
Plus
Underground.
Ben were hanging out.
Yeah, some of that. Yeah. That was one of the times Ben and I were hanging out.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, you know, and then it's like Warehouse. Like when I saw the faint in at the Smell in downtown, it was just like, I was like, this is like, because I'd been to raves, but I was just like, I was always like, I don't get how many colors are happening here.
Yeah.
And then I went to like see the faint at this place. I was just like, everyone felt like they were about to pass out with how hot it was in there. But like, it was just so like everyone was heaving. Like that's like, it was just like, it was very like, you know, as a, like a 19-year-old kid that just moved out here, I was like, I think I'm a sexual being.
I'm going to have sex.
Yeah. It's like, I felt like that kid. In the car with Spicoli when he's like reading the Playboy in Fast Times where he's like, I like sex.
This might be a good time for an email.
Hey, we got an email?
We got an email. We got a lengthy email, so I'm going to kind of read some excerpts. It is entitled, Come with it now. Hey, Jonah Cash and now. I'm Josh from Connecticut. Love the show. Been listening since episode 2. Sorry about the first. Wanted to write in about my fiance, who's a big gay dude hopping around on stage wearing a rainbow suit and performing a cover of Rage Against the Machine's classic Bulls on Parade with the Alan Stone Band for some sick children. And how this wraps around about Cash and Neil mentioning his old ska band's name all randomly on the podcast. My partner Ryan, he works for Alan Stone as his tour manager, sound engineer, and the band referred to him as Bear for obvious reasons. He recently turned one of their shows into a benefit for him so he can afford to get knee surgery and let him perform Bulls on Parade in their encore instead of the usual cover of Message in a Bottle just for fun.
Cash, real quick, this email is very meandering. It goes off on a lot of tangents.
I did not write this.
Okay,
I was going
to. He got the rainbow song.
A lot of information. Okay, keep going.
Long story short, they just streamed a concert where he came out and did this through Melodic Caring Project, who stream live shows for hospitalized kids.
That's awesome.
So they did a bunch of stuff for that, and they said, because we're doing a bunch of punk songs, Bear, why don't you come out and close the show with Rage Against the Machine in your rainbow suit? So they did. Turns out Bear was in one of the... A couple of weeks ago, we made fun of ska band names, and he was in one of the ska band names. So when Joshua was at home, they kind of lit up to hear it. So we have that link. If you want to pass me that, we can play a little of Bear playing a little Rage Against the Machine for sick kids on the holidays.
Oh,
and I also want
to
really plug the Melodic Caring Project, who do a really cool...
It is really cool.
Really cool stuff. So this is Alan
is cool,
King.
Caring is cool.
Introducing it. We're going to hear a listen to this. And then I thought we might play a little bit a ska song from Rolling Steady.
We'll have you introduce that one.
Okay.
Is he in something special? We rehearsed a Rage Against the Machine song. We're going to bring our entire crew and band out. We're all going to do it for you, okay? You down with that? All right, let's do it. What's up, Seattle? How you doing?
Is that me?
Yeah.
We're buffering. Sorry, this is... The internet is...
This has been an incredible tour.
That's
we're
Bear.
Really excited to end it here in Seattle.
And
that's
he
a great
is
suit.
In
rainbow
a
suit.
Fucking rainbow suit,
Thank
and he looks
for,
awesome.
Let's yeah. do this.
I queued it up at the beginning, but apparently
only,
they're loving it.
One thing left to say. To win it now!
Yeah.
Is that guy on a...
You guys played
what?
A melodica.
Yes.
Melodica to Rage Against the Machine.
There's no melodicas in Rage Against the Machine.
He's stalking in that suit.
I need more uhs and yas.
That might be the greatest guitar riff I've been alive for. Oh, they got the strobes going. He is frightening sick children all over this.
All over the planet.
I hope this song gives the...
The microphone explodes, shatter in the mold. Either drop the hits like Jayla or we'll get at the condo with the shoe.
Self-censoring.
Sick children.
Cares about kids.
The co-op. Terror rage drenching, quenching the thirst of the power gun. That fire's out of the gun.
I mean, he kind of sounds like Atmosphere when he
does.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good point.
Rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family.
Well, anyways, I don't want to play too much of this.
Great
but,
cover.
Yeah.
Good cover.
I remember getting a Guitar World around the time that this came out or whatever one of those magazines was, and it had like the tab of this. And you know, at the beginning, it gives like tunings and shit like that. And it's like... Use Allen wrench for capo. I was like, I don't know that I should necessarily do this.
Yeah. I like to see like a Sonic Youth version of it. You know, like, you're gonna need.
You're gonna need a Phillips head screwdriver.
You're gonna need a trip to IKEA.
Yeah.
And
so you're gonna play some of his ska band.
Yeah. Let me.
You're gonna need an extra pair of cargo pants.
Habits. Yeah. This
Tool
is
belt.
From I Love You. I'm Sorry. This is called No Chorizo.
Have you ever tried to make your own mistakes?
your own way to find your own grave, to wipe the smirk off of your face. Find a better plan to take upon the day, dodging everything that gets in your way. Tell all your friends that I'm still alive, and I will make it to your party to celebrate tonight. But I'm doing all right. What never is all the better life, 'cause I've been sleeping with no heat on every night, just so I can get by. Coming here to lies never crossed my mind, but I'll find solace in one last bill I'll find in my mailbox to ignore another time. Do you know what it's like spending energy to find that you're still behind, despite the 40-hour week you wish you had? Work at 65, still never on time. Still never called out, fixing everything I missed. That doesn't mean I'm sorry for the way that I have lived. No, it's not right to place the blame on responsibilities I'll take for granted. Any safety of any part of this. What do you call the paradise when you're not held down in a ball? With the shame you leave behind, or is that something that you hide, like an animal running out of sight behind Venetian blinds, just waiting for another place to find a better day, another way. Get back the money that you say was better earned and better spent, like it's a trip that you'll regret. Don't take the chance to second guess. Your ship has sailed, you're stuck in debt. Have you ever tried to make your own mistakes? Find your own way to find your own place, to wipe the smirk off of your face. Find a better plan, take upon the day, dodging everything that ever gets in your way. Tell all your friends that I'm still alive, but I will make it to your party and celebrate tonight. Tell all your friends that I'm still alive, but I will make it to your party and celebrate tonight.
Hey, all right. So that was who?
Steady Habits.
Steady Habits.
I Love You, I'm Sorry. That was No Chorizo.
Chorizo.
I'm sorry. I'm from California. We just...
Wait,
we just
is that what you were trying to say earlier? Was chorizo? What?
Yeah, chorizo.
Accent that was. Is that a...
It's not a Portuguese sausage.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, linguica. Portuguese?
Linguica is Portuguese sausage.
I don't know what chorizo is.
Chorizo is Mexican sausage. It's cheek.
Is it?
That's what it's made out of.
Chorizo?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Mm. It's tasty.
Do you want to check in with demoted co-host, now correspondent, Dan Byerly?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I got it on my thing. I managed to
Oh, you got it. You got it on your thing. Hold on. We got to plug in your thing. There we go.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, so that's also why there was no applause there, guys. I'm sorry.
Well oiled.
I love it.
Yeah.
I brought a whole
So this is our correspondent, mm-hmm. Dan Byerly.
Yeah.
Who I think you met briefly at South by Southwest 1 year. He just happened to be at like a comedy show we were at, and then I think you swung by and I introduced you. I think.
Wow.
But you were around. I know that. You were. It was
all like, right.
It was that Super Deluxe year.
Super Deluxe year. Wow.
No, okay. Not Super Deluxe. Sorry. CISO. Sorry.
Yeah, CISO.
I've been on so many
other
failed
thing.
Internet ventures.
That other thing.
I've been to be fair, Super Deluxe failed twice.
That's true. Once
CISO
with me,
only
once with
failed
them.
Once.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got that.
CISO long.
But also, it didn't really fail. We made things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, someone literally pulled the plug on it and said, I don't want to do that anymore.
It's late
That's
Friday.
That's not really failure.
We get the stars of late Friday. We don't actually get late Friday.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Let's see what Dan
has to say.
Okay. This is unscreened. I have not listened to it.
That's okay.
Hey, guys. It's Dan. I hope you're feeling better, Cash.
Thank you.
Neil, congrats on the new girlfriend. Jonah, I hope all is going well for you. You know, over the years, I feel like I know you, you know, pretty well from listening to the radio for so long, but you guys really don't know much about me, so hopefully this update will rectify some of that. So just a little bit about my past. You know, growing up, I listened to more comedy, you know, than music. Bill Cosby himself was on heavy rotation, as it was family-friendly comedy, and my mother's very Christian. If you're not familiar with that album, there's a lot about his brother Russell and his mom's propensity for throwing a conniption fit. not so much about his fondness for drugging women and doing whatever he wants with her body. It's like if Jeffrey Dahmer had a one-man show at Edinburgh called All About Me that talked about his life at home and in the military, but conveniently left out the parts where he lured men to his home to play Fuck, Bury, Kill with them. I did listen to some music back then, mostly Weird Al. My uber-Christian mom was okay with that until she heard Nature Trail from Hell off of N3D. Yeah, she's right, of course. You know, the accordion is the devil's instrument, and the sole purpose of that track is to lure young children to the Dark Lord's throne and sacrifice their souls to a skinny white guy with glasses, a perm, and a mustache to hear more Michael Jackson parody songs about food. as I got older, I started listening to rock, and then rap, and metal, and then industrial, and all your typical angsty teenage bullshit, but never really expanded much, you know, past that. And I hate really most of what's played on the radio these days. As a working man with a family, it's hard to get out and experience new bands. This is why I've been listening to Jonah Radio, really, to hear some of the great bands that I've been missing out all these years, or some of the new bands that are just emerging. You know, and in the process, I've found some new favorite bands like Fart Barf and Man Man. A little bit more about me. I've got two kids. My youngest just celebrated his birthday with a party at home. You know, later on that evening, he broke out in a nasty case of hives, head to toe, just horrible. You know, we thought it was an allergy to new detergent or some latex balloons he'd been playing with. We took him to the doctor to test for allergies, but the doc said that tests like that could be rough on a kid that age, so he suggested we test him out from home. So the next day, I ended up becoming the creepiest guy in the world by telling a six-year-old boy to take off his shirt and pants and play with some balloons. Yeah, that's it. Rub them all over your body. Yeah, just like that. Why? Because daddy needs you to. That's why. It turned out not to be the cause of the allergies, but will probably be the cause of many future therapy sessions. This week, my wife and I took our kids to see Tesla and Mastodon. Really cool. We drove for 2.5 hours to what turned out to be a science museum with a giant Tesla coil and an actual Mastodon, neither of which knew how to play shit. Tesla coil couldn't even play any Architect covers. Bullshit. Anyway, as far as music goes, I've been mostly listening to music on Twitch a lot lately. I know what you're thinking. It's not all foul-mouthed millennials playing Fortnite or big boob girls with low-cut shirts and cat ears performing ASMR on you. It's like the new public access TV with all the good, the bad, and the fucking weird. But if you scour through the societal wreckage that you find on there, you can find the occasional diamond in the rough, which makes it worthwhile. A couple weeks ago, I was on the music section and I found a stream called Safe House. It's a channel based in Austin, Texas, which streams local bands played live out of a t-shirt store. I encourage everybody to check it out and support them. All donations above the expenses to run the stream go directly to the artists, or you can even donate directly to the bands. I've linked a few of the favorites I've found while barely scratching the surface of the hundreds of their archive videos on there. I'd also like to give a shout-out to our mutual friend Aldrin Cornejo, who introduced me to an artist, animator, musician named Shane Curry, who currently performs under the name Gold Foiled. He has a wonderful video on YouTube called The Cheese Stands Alone that I will link below, as well as a ton of excellent songs on SoundCloud, one of which I have also linked. Anyway, thanks again, you guys. Happy New Year, and talk to you again soon-ish, maybe.
Hey, Dan Byerly.
Dan Byerly with the best mic'd thing we've ever had on this show. Oh, wow. He calls in to give me tech advice.
A radio story?
He's like our Prairie Home Companion. He's like our Tales from Lake Wobegon. Yeah. I think that's think a good thing until he gets promoted to co-host again.
Somewhere around there. I know he drove a long way to go to Austin. When we saw him in Austin.
Yeah, I don't remember where he's from.
I have those links there, so that was pretty cool. Thank you, Dan, for writing in. We will we'll see with you. As long as we're reaching out to our extended family, I brought some gifts.
Oh boy!
Oh,
for
shit,
us,
yeah.
And our guest.
What? No way.
Yeah.
There is one for Jonah.
Hey.
I made a hipster gift list this year, and everybody is getting records. So I'm not giving
hell
away that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay. It looks like a four-year-old. And then my girlfriend actually wrapped that one. So. Hey.
It's very noticeable.
It's so much. I got to get in the shower. Will you do this last one?
I thought this was.
It's beautiful. My mom wraps stuff and lines everything up.
Wow.
It's really? Nuts. So when she gets stripes, the ends are like rectangles.
That's crazy.
It's
so
cheap, cool. It makes me feel guilty.
That's maddening.
All right.
All right. Let's see here. Opening it up.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. They're all shaped like records. They're all records.
All right. Oh, shit.
Okay. All right. Nice.
Rhea, you go first.
I got Rare Earth. Get ready.
Ooh.
The B-side of that album is
21 minutes.
Is one song. And it's fucking fantastic. Rare Earth.
And it's the titular track.
It is. Rare Earth were the all white band on Motown.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sick.
It's they're pretty
spectacular. Look at that. Look at that. B-side, one song, one track.
Yep.
Look at that.
No breaks on it.
Uncut.
Uncut.
All right. I got London Bobby's Pub Party. Over 20 sing-along pub songs.
I figure you
volume two.
Yeah. Well, you probably know all the easy ones. So.
Recorded drunk at a live party.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So I figure you could go over and fit in even more next time you go to the pub. You love going to the pub.
I love going to the pub. One of my favorite tracks titles right here is "Hello, Who's Your Lady Friend?"
In it. Track four is just in it.
In it.
Yeah. In it.
I think we might have gotten our gifts mixed up because mine is the Richard Pryor Red Fox Down and Dirty.
No, that sounds up your alley.
That's exactly. I picked that out for you because if anybody
track
needs,
is called Fuck or Fight.
Yeah, that's literally all you talk about.
That's rude. That's not at all.
I'm sorry.
Don't make my don't
I never
tie my
SES.
Gift to your notes.
Come on.
If anybody could use a party record, it's Neil Mahoney.
That's true.
Yeah.
To sit alone in my house and just do a party record.
All right, we're going to take a break with a song. This is a submitted song from The Black Shanks.
Party's over. We've reached the end.
that was the Black Shanks. Submit a song. If you want your music, or if you have any friends that are in bands and they want their music, or your friends of the band that might, you know, be famous, tell them that they should let us yeah. play their music to it.
I have some suggestions. I'll leave them in the comment box when I leave.
Yeah, please. That was, yes, what we've put up is
I try to put that out to like my friends are in bands. I was like, hey, could you just let your friends' bands know to just tell me if it's okay? Like, you know, yeah. we need to stay somewhat
totally
know,
yeah legal above realm. Board and everything.
Yeah, but
you guys should listen to the band Slugs.
Oh yeah, Slugs just played. You went to go see him. That's
I went to see them because the lead singer. And then my friend, they're doing like a side band together, just a two-piece band together, playing kind of a little bit of the Boy Genius thing, like playing each other's songs a little bit.
Oh, nice.
But like redoing them together, kind of a thing.
So that Boy Genius record, not to go back to it, but like it was...
Let's go back to it.
What I like about it is that it was like, it felt like a cohesive...
It was.
These different people like making a music together, which not necessarily... And I love both of these artists separately.
Sure, yes.
But that Kurt Vile, Courtney Barnett record, I was like, it felt like they were just mailing stuff to each other.
Yeah, the thing, there's actually a really great Pitchfork article about that record that's like the super group band you love with no ego or something like that's byline on it, but it's a really great just a process article, like to read about creative process and how they work together, and they recorded it in like 2 weeks at Sunset Sound, I think.
Oh wow,
that's
wow.
where I think that's the studio, but they all came in with like pieces of songs, like partially done stuff, and then just openly worked on it together.
Yeah,
so nobody, each person's like, Me and My Dog is a Phoebe song, but they all have, you can feel each of them in each track.
Yeah,
you know, like Julian's vocals and stuff in the background, and like Lucy's. Anyway, it's just like they clearly fully collaborated on that
thing. Exactly, where it's like where that Kurt Vile, Courtney Barnett, like it just felt like, all right, Kurt's gonna like do a long like, guitar part, and then he'll sing during this part. He'll leave gaps open, and then Courtney can kind of come in and do her thing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and for someone to, for me, and I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but like for someone, like I don't think Courtney Barnett has ever done a misstep. And,
sure.
Like, and she's put out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes,
like very quickly. And like, I was like this one, I was just like, no.
Yeah. But at least you can say like, well, it was with somebody else. So it's probably their fault.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's like just Kurt like Vile, you know,
yeah,
that's the weird part.
Yeah, totally. And it's not like, I don't mean that like, oh, what a, I don't mean it in a negative way. It's like, sometimes those things just don't work that way.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, you think it's a, hey, we're, you know, especially like in comedy, we know that so well. It's like, oh, we have so much fun and we're so good at riffing at parties. Let's get together, write something. And then there's like,
you're like, well, this something. Isn't working at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Context is very key.
Yes.
And no, then for like, sure. it's a lot of chemistry and so many things. So, but yeah, that record, and then it crescendos with that Ketchum, Idaho song where it's like just three harmonies singing this song, and they each have a verse on it. I don't know. It's like, honestly, the perfect version of that thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like they all three clearly like didn't come in with, well, I want it to be like this. Mm-hmm. Like they clearly just wanted to work with each other and then made this thing together. And I was name drop, whatever, got to talk to Lucy and Julian and Phoebe afterwards. And Lucy was like, I don't know, this was like really special. I don't know when we're ever going to get to do this again.
Yeah.
So like even they knew how like cool and amazing it was of like just getting to make, just openly make something and just have it be cool. You know, like you know, like you were talking about caring is cool. It's like they clearly cared about what they were making and working together. And that's, I think,
I didn't think about what it would mean in the long run.
No.
Which is, I think,
it's not like what are we going to do after
like
this?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, how,
like,
we're just how,
then what do we do? Then what's
thing?
The next step?
And then we're going to tour it, and then, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Then we'll, you know, maybe we'll return to it some other time.
It's kind of like a mural. Like, made this piece of art, but no one's going to own it. It's just going to kind of be there. And
yeah.
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 It's a
big thing. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the
I'm sorry, I tuned out. Are we still talking about London Bobby's Pub Party?
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
We're talking about
our favorite track.
In it.
Keep Right on the End of the Road. No, that's not funny. we were talking about...
One more time, Jonah, you got it. Pick the good one.
I got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Yes.
I got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
It was just such a beautiful collaboration on I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts that just really sort of transcended the form.
Yeah, and you're wondering why I'm saying like that? Well, just listen to the next track after that. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But yeah, sometimes doing stuff just for fun is the way to go. You know, like take my collaboration with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The soundtrack to Jumanji 2.
Still Manjin, right?
Just a passion project between friends.
Just a passion project between two old
two
Hawaii
pals.
Buds.
Yep.
Well, in between workouts, you guys get to talking.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different,
when you're shaking
different
your
types
protein
of workouts.
Shakes.
When I'm in the Iron Paradise, actually, I only show up during his sushi cheat days, and then we watch Netflix together. He watches so much Netflix original stuff that like at certain times I want to go, just fucking watch my show.
This is the second. The first time was when you tweeted at him and he responded.
I had a dream, but then I found out like he had. It's like if anyone says like, "Oh, I had a dream that I hung out with The Rock," blah blah blah. So I had like some dream that I was like that we like talked about our mutual love of Obama and being from Hawaii,
yes.
And then like he was like he like, "Ha ha, man, don't eat too much cheese before you go to bed." And I was like, "Whoa, this is great!" And then I saw that he like
your
like,
response to everyone.
Like I did like a screen grab, and two people were like, "Yeah, he said
yeah,
the same thing to me."
Know.
I was like, "Oh, okay." And so this was nice to come back around.
He has an
around.
Auto reply of "Don't eat too much cheese before you go
He's
to
got
bed."
A social media intern that replies,
yeah, yeah.
"Find dream." And The Rock.
Yeah. But then this one was a bit different. That was very nice. That was very exciting.
Very happy for you.
I had that was so
straight
funny
up.
How many of my friends were like, "Hey, I know it's just like a dumb thing, but I'm really happy for you.
I also had a big email sort of situation in that the Christmas gift from Josh thread email from 4 years ago came back around again.
It did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. I saw
everyone who is.
Do you ever hear about that?
BCC?
Are you on that?
No,
you
I'm
on
not
it?
On it.
Yeah. Oh, I think I thought you were.
It's like Jash.com, which is like, you know, it's like
comedy,
comedy
Another.
Site.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
They're still like a production
still
company.
They're still
they like were asking for people's addresses to send out their holiday gift, but they didn't. They didn't. Blind CC.
Oh yeah!
Like just so tons of people like could get John Hamm's email.
Yeah,
yeah right.
Like
Neil Brennan,
Tom Green.
Yeah, Tom Green just replied to.
Yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah, it just fired up again.
There was a before Time's Up was a thing. You know when Time's Up like initiated itself, but it was they did that.
Oh really?
Oh,
with
really?
Like, you know, very high level like women's emails addresses.
Oh,
you know?
I
like,
heard about that. Yeah.
It was pretty nuts. It was pretty wild.
I got a Christmas party invite this year that was immediately followed with, "We're so sorry we didn't BCC."
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh."
You know what I got? I got another white male comedian's Christmas card from whatever reps we have. It was Michael Costa. So Michael Costa, if you're listening.
Wow. Oh my good gravy.
Yeah. And I didn't get a Christmas card.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, so he probably got yours.
Maybe. It was like a personalized letter.
Oh my god.
So great to work with you.
I mean, yeah, I got Ellen Tiggs and Hannah Gatsby's this year. So.
You know that one. What's
You know.
Yeah.
You've heard of him. You sound exactly like him.
Yeah.
That's what people love to say to me.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
You know.
Yeah.
I didn't get any corporate Christmas gifts this year. I miss it. No, I take that back. I got a jacket from Lyft, but that was for giving 1,000 rides.
Hey,
guys, I've given 1,000
I didn't get
rides.
Any corporate gifts either. I've lived and worked in this town for 7 years, and I've never gotten a single pair of headphones. Can you believe that?
That's incredible.
It's bullshit.
I've
it's
only
actually
gotten
bullshit.
Once. I got headphones once. It was when I worked for BBC America for
got
the
it.
Nerdist show.
I how about cell phone chargers, cell phone batteries?
Zero.
How
I've got
never?
Nothing.
No, you've gotten giveaways maybe
I've
at
gotten
like a
gifts,
festival.
Giveaways at a festival, yeah, but I've never gotten like a gift.
Yeah.
Like a here's a rap gift.
What about this Rare Earth record?
Well, yes.
That's
that
a joke.
It's not a rap gift. You didn't give it to me at the end of the podcast.
That's
as
true.
A rap
I've gotten,
gift.
I've gotten rap gifts. I've never gotten, I don't think I've gotten like personalized Christmas gifts.
I'm also, this is like not a big, I'm just, it's funny.
No.
It's funny.
I will say this, as a child watching Scrooged, that like there's that whole running gag of like, getting the VCR versus the robe or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as a child, I was like, I want to be on the VCR list. Like, yeah. especially when it came out, I was like, oh, fucking yeah. VCR?
I want to be on VCR. Does it come with VCR Plus?
I did one year. I decided, like, I'm going to send Christmas gifts to everyone I work with. And I bought a shitload of these Derringer, like, micro pens, like, super small pens that you can keep in your wallet. And I sent those to, like, everyone whose address I had. And I felt like a big deal.
I will say those probably went over a lot more than if you did it now, knife guy. You just sent people knives for Christmas?
No, pens. No,
pens.
I know, but if you sent people knives.
Well, I would be stoked, but, you know, not everybody's me.
Knives as gifts.
No. Oh, that's true.
You got to get something in exchange.
Did you get a pair of scissors from Jordan? I saw they were sending those out.
From what?
The us. The scissors? Us, the like, they sent out a bunch.
Movie?
Yeah,
they sent out Jordan a bunch Peele. Of
scissors. Yeah.
Mm. No.
No.
And I retweeted the trailer.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think these were like butter up gifts. Oh, so you'd retweet the trailer. Yeah, you were in. He knew you were in already.
You knew you were already there. Yeah.
I saw the trailer once. I don't really remember it. And I just remember going, like, I don't want to watch it again until I see the movie.
I think he shot it in Santa Cruz. Or he shot some of it. I think that's the boardwalk in it.
It looks so good.
I got told some things about it, so it's kind of like, well,
no.
Because what I heard, I heard it was like, they're like, oh, it's a home invasion. And I was like, well, that seems weird that he would do a home invasion. Well, he's got good ideas. And then I shouldn't have watched the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, because now you know what
twist,
it is. Yeah.
But like, it still scared me.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
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 Oh, that's... I think their performances are going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Performances that he gets out of those actors as on both sides. Yeah.
Dude from Black Panther.
Yeah. And such as like the him with the bat out front being hard to the shadowy people. Oh, yeah. So goddamn funny.
Yeah.
Shadowy it's going to be good. Planet.
You got your baseball podcast?
I do have my baseball podcast, which has been like a little bit on hiatus in the off season.
Well, you're talking about
I'm just
people.
Talking about movies. And also, I just don't give a shit about trades and stuff.
No.
I really don't care about that. I mean, I'll talk about it, but you can't fill every week full of like, where's this guy going to go? Because it's all manufactured and who cares?
Not to mention the fact that even if you did it live to the internet and then people listen to it, as soon as one piece moves... conjecture is gone.
So I did do like a review of Bull Durham. I'll tell you what, it's hard to do a review of a movie by yourself.
Yeah.
I've never done it before, and I was like, oh man, this isn't fun at all. Like I said it on the podcast, but it was fun to watch the movie again because I've seen it so many times. That's right. But I'm still doing it and going to do some more movies coming up. And then I do have like some dates in January. I'll be at Sketchfest on I think it's the 16th, and then... Idaho, as you do.
Yeah.
So no, Idaho, come to that routing. Show. And then Portland at Mississippi Studios. And then Seattle, I'll be at the Crocodile Cafe.
That's great.
And then the 25th and the 26th, I'll be in Tempe and Tucson. So come to those.
Yeah, you're really hitting it hard, right?
I'm really hitting it hard right away.
Yeah.
Well, I was off the road all year with a writing job. I couldn't
That's
go
right.
anywhere. So
we could talk about that, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, shit. God damn, really?
I know. I don't think I can.
That's crazy.
Still, so.
Captain Marvel.
Not on a podcast. You and I can talk about it when the microphones are off, but I don't think I put it on
here. But like,
I don't think I can put it on here.
Man, oh man.
I know,
I'm
right?
Fucking looking forward to it so much. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything, but it's like, I'm so looking forward to it.
Can I take a couple guesses? Like she's Neil's girlfriend?
No.
No. Neil won't tell me who his girlfriend is.
Still.
Got it.
Yep.
He still he tries.
I've guessed,
and to them it's fun.
Everyone we both know.
Angela Bassett is
some that we don't.
I was just offended by the.
It's Angela Trimber's bird.
So
I started guessing NPR hosts.
Yeah.
Steve Inskeep.
Lachmi Singh.
That's exactly.
Well,
you did say at one point
Cherry Glazer.
Cherry Glazer.
At least tell me what podcast network she's on.
Yes,
and I just immediately was. That's it.
All right. Well,
Forever Dog. She's on Forever Dog.
She's on Forever Dog.
Well, thank you so much for stopping
by. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a good time at the aquarium.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be rad. I love seeing things underwater and not being underwater myself.
They got, their jellyfish section is great.
Sick.
Yeah.
Super into it. I've been reading this great book about octopus and how their brains are very similar to ours. That they're like the only alien being on the planet that's like an alien, basically.
And they're capable of lying.
That's
which is the
nuts.
Most
did you guys know that
thing?
Pigeons can use mirrors?
They use mirrors?
Yeah, that there's it's called the Mark test. And you, we've tested animals. There's like a list of 13 that can do it, like us. So you take a pigeon, you put it in front of a mirror, then you like knock it out. You put a red dot on its forehead. You put it back in front of the mirror, and if it looks in the mirror and tries to get the red dot off, it can use a fucking mirror.
Wow!
And they can. Pigeons are very smart.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to something where octopus will like hide things and then like pretend like they don't have them.
Yeah, because they want to lure you in.
Well, they're cute.
And grab you. My bad. Just grab you with your little.
The idea of an animal that's capable of deceit.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, other than us.
That's why it's like it's a, you know, I still.
Cephalopods.
I still eat fish. But
you
I try
you,
not.
You do you, Jonah.
What?
You do you,
but
Jonah.
But I try not to. I try not to eat octopus.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, got off of.
Mahi-mahi and octopus. Like, get away from it. Too smart.
Mahi-mahis are smart?
Well, isn't it?
It's basically a porpoise.
Mahi-mahi is just a regular white fish.
Then which one thing? Which thing am I thinking of?
I think you're thinking of
swordfish.
No, there's a name that there's a different language name that is actually like dolphin porpoise or whatever. Anyway, we don't need it. We were getting out of the episode, and I've just stretched
it
out.
It's like a Hawaiian fish.
I apologize.
That I grew up eating.
Great. Then I'm racist. Okay.
All right. Well, we're gonna end it out with a song by Darto. They're from Seattle, and this song's called Human Giving. Thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks, Dan Byerly.
Happy New Year.
Happy Yay! New Year!
Listen, we already know that you love genre movies, film craft, and female filmmakers. So, if you love all those things, then by transitive property, you love my podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Hi, I'm film critic April Wolfe. Every week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their favorite genre film. Each episode covers the filmmaking process, working in the film industry, and just, like, general geeking out about awesome movies. I've had such great guests like the Big Sick writer Emily Gordon.
To me, indie movies as of late have come to be a catch-all term for a movie that kind of defies genre.
Billy Madison and Half-Baked director Tamara Davis.
When a comedian comes and enters onto my set, they're just there to be funny, and we're all ready and waiting for them to be funny.
Horror industry veteran and actor Barbara Crampton.
That's where real drama lies for me. What's between you and I speaking right now? Where are we meeting? And what's the energy that we create between us?
And so many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now. You could end up
on the street. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.